enjoyed what you said. As your pastor, I'm encouraged that you are going to be strong through this. You know, I know we've talked and there was a little concern that this is going to be unbearable for you. And it certainly is, but you are. God is strong when we're weak. Amen. Amen. I just love all that you said, but God. And so it's the best answer there is, no matter what's going on, but God. He is in control. So we're going to just continue. I shared a little bit briefly what I'm going to share now. I shared this Monday at the funeral. Obviously, we wouldn't be every Sunday, honoring people and talking about people, because we're here to love God, worship God, honor God. But there's a place, there's times when honor is due to individuals. And say, and though John can't hear us, and he could care less that he can, we're honoring him today. But it's for your benefit, Linda, it's our love for you and love for how John has been such a blessing to the church. And you gave of that. You participated. You know, you didn't teach, but you were behind him. I told Joy when I went into ministry, she was a little bit nervous about that. I says, honey, you don't have to have like some special anointing now for the women and all that. All you have to do is be my wife. And if you be my wife, I'll be the best minister I can be. You know, and so he was a great teacher because you were a great wife. Amen? Amen. I'm going to read out of Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, and a few more scriptures, Luke 19, and 1 Corinthians. So, Lord, I just pray, God, for this message, Lord, to just again, let it minister to us in a simple way, just as the message last week, Lord, to just walk in simplicity, Lord, and just help us realize that. Again, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us call this faithful saints. Colossians 1, 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Luke 19, 17. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful. In a very little, you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. You know, Pastor Shaw texted me during the week, and he said he was still dealing with the question, why, like you are. And I texted him back, what has satisfied me is I think of Enoch. You don't really know anything about Enoch other than this, he walked with God. And I picture God saying, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. He's walking. I got to get him. I got to get him to my side. I believe that about John. I really do. He finished his course, just as you were saying, Aaron, and God just wanted him. And I know you do too, but God's the boss. he gets to choose. I don't know if that helps you at all, but I really believe that. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So that brings a question to my mind. If you're not like a steward, if you're not one given leadership position or authority in a church, do you have to not be faithful? Well, absolutely not. Of course you need to be faithful. But all it is saying is, let those that have been proven faithful, let them be the ones that are the stewards and the leaders in the church. And that's exactly what John was. And Aaron, you brought it up that he was faithful, and other people in the church, they said that was one thing about John, was that he was real just steady and he was faithful. And that is the word I think of when I think of John. He was a faithful man. We have so many people that get saved and they want to be a champion for the Lord, and I've preached that sermon. You know, we want to do all of these things to make a great name for ourselves and never sat at the feet of Jesus to really learn him. And so many people want to be a champion I don't think John, of course, everybody has that human nature and they want to be something special, but John was just a steady Eddie. Just keep on going, just faithful, one foot in front of another. Some people are running and ambitious for this and that, but sooner or later, somewhere along the line, John just steady passes them up. Just keep on going, just keep on growing in the Lord. And that was yours and John's life, Linda, was just a steady keel for over 40 years. You've been serving the Lord, right? It's an awesome thing. How long were you guys married? 48. You guys were kind of tied. I was telling the Fergusons, they have to lead now. They've been married 48 years too. It says, you're the old timers in the church now. You got to be that example to us that have only been married like 43 years. And I had, of course, a relationship with John, maybe not as good as Uncle did and Tyler being on the board. But I was on the board back in somewhere around 1985, back at Bayview Assembly on the board with John for 9 years. And I left to go into the ministry, and he still continued all those years. He was like a deacon, like, I don't know, before he came over by us, some like 30 years or something. And it was like, he was steady, and he was just faithful to the Lord. Back about 10 years ago, it was a process of time. He was given revelation, and he was given insight of the Lord. And it happened over several years. But he, I'm always uncomfortable sometimes about telling stories, because when there's a good side of the story, there's always a bad part, a bad side. But I just want to say this briefly, and I can't help but mention it, because to me it was one of the strongest things of leadership that John ever did. They had their pastor had resigned, and I found that on a Sunday. This is back in 2010. Well, Thursday rolls around, and I got saved at that church, and I knew the people, and I still love them. And there's always this desire, whether people understand it or not, when you connect with people and you love them, and then you go into the ministry, they're like, oh, it'd be neat to be their pastor now. And I don't know, some people think that's wrong, but I just think it's right, you know, to just want to be involved in their lives. Especially, I'm excited. The Lord has taught me so many things. I want to just teach it to my old church family and stuff. So I called up John and I said, we had some small talk. And then I said, hey, I'd like to come and talk to your board about things to look for in a pastor. And I said, well, now one more thing. This is a little more on the radical side, but why don't you guys just get out of the nomination you're in? I'll come over. I'll bring my church over. I'll be the pastor. You guys can continue to be the elders there, and we'll just, join our churches together. And so there was our little secret meeting we did at Dennis Makarewitz's house. And so time went on, and it was amazing that they even entertained it, because usually, that's against the rules. Our denomination don't allow things like that. They don't allow you to go outside of their parameters and all that. But anyways, they entertained it, and several months went on, and I was getting a little bit of an update through Aaron, because he was working with Tyler at the time, and I never pressed anything. I never called them up and bothered them. They called me up one more time to come, and they had a couple questions for me, and I met with them again, and we just like, just let the Lord do what he wants to do. And even one day, Joy says to me, she goes, you really think this is going to happen? I go, yeah, I do. I just can't help it. I just think it's going to happen. I know it sounds crazy and radical. And, well, it didn't happen the way that I thought I would. One thing is I didn't want to go take our church. They couldn't come to our church. It was too small. They had a big building, but it was way over by the lake, and it's like it's a big albatross and a big money sucker and all that. And it's like, I didn't really want to do that, but I mean, if that's the worst thing, fine. Well, the Lord will help us provide for the place, but that didn't happen. And then ended up the church turning on John and Tyler and Dennis, the three deacons, and pretty much removed them from leadership. And they came over in August, the first Sunday in August of 2010, and joined our church. And you know, when you're given revelation and insight by the Lord, you really don't have much choice to let that develop your conviction. And when you get conviction, you have no choice but to follow that, no matter what the cost is. And it's real, in my experience, it's a very rare thing in the church today to, I gotta get rid of something here. It's a rare thing in a person in leadership, especially John, he was the head deacon in them days. So he was like basically kind of leading the church other than they had a preacher come in on Sunday. But it's a rare thing for a person in leadership to ever come out of their church and their denomination. It happens at times. The only way you can really do that is just to get a revelation, the insight, and the mind of God and say, whatever the cost is, I just have to do this. If it's just me and my wife that's left when it's all over, so be it. We have to honor God. So John, I was impressed with John from that moment on. It was like this guy really, you know, just really believed what the Lord showed him, and he was just going to go for it. He's going to go after what God has showed him. He, you know, many, at least some, have ostracized him for daring to stand up against the system that he was so raised in. But some of those that ostracized them, they're not even serving the Lord anymore. But faithful John did. He just kept on going. That's what faithful is. Just continue on and on and on. And I want to say this. John did not miss his day of visitation, if you know what I mean by that. When the Lord showed him something, and the Lord's going to show you things, and he does, and when he does, you got to go forward with them. Amen. You know, don't miss that. Because when God gives revelation, that's very special and dear, and if you reject that, don't go thinking you're going to get any more. You just move forward, and don't worry about getting what somebody else has. Get yours, and hold it dear and precious, and be obedient to what God put you in your heart. So John, again, when you think of, I think of John, I think of the word faithful, and it comes from the Greek word pistos, which means trustworthy. I like that. It's worthy of trust, a person that is faithful. Here's some things that determine if a person is worthy of trust. Now, we know that God is worthy of everything, and you and I are not worthy of anything. But this kind of worthy that we're talking about, like if you work for somebody, I'm going to do this job for you for $1,000. When you get done, you're worthy of that. If you did a good job and you did what you're supposed to, you're worthy of that check that you're going to get. That's kind of what trustworthiness is. We're not usurping the worthiness of God, but proving ourselves worthy. So one thing that determines if a person is faithful is you have a history of walking true before the Lord and men. You're not a believer for a couple years and are given responsibilities and stewardships and all of that because you're a novice. See, the Bible warns us that, you know, ministers aren't supposed to be novices. You know why? They get full of pride. And that can happen. I was a deacon 2 years after I was saved. That wasn't the good thing for me. Here, I'm a young believer, about 30 years old, and I'm, you know, in a deacon position. I thought I was something pretty hot, you know. But it takes time to see if someone is really faithful. I love what you said, Linda. What he is here on Sunday, he was on Monday. That's faithful, you know, and he lived that life. And you could look at John. And again, remembering when I got saved 37 years ago, the guy's still serving the Lord, still going forward. Somebody described it. He didn't get any of these big highs. You know, you didn't see John ever come to church like, oh, man, I'm so excited to serve the Lord and jumping around. And then you get the real lows. He's just on and on and on. And it was like this. Not steady like this, but steady like this. Amen. It's all it takes to be faithful. Just be trustworthy. Be steady. Another thing that proves if you're faithful or trustworthy is you have been tested with trials of life and you have endured them. There's people that they become Christians and they get tested with trials and they bail out on the Lord. But those that really love the Lord, they go through one trial after another and they keep on coming out of it. And the end of the matter is better than the beginning. I love that scripture. Knowing that the end results of what's happening in your life, which does not surprise God, which he allowed, is you come out of it loving God more, more faithful to him, and your faith stronger. Isn't that why we go through, face a lot of things? Linda, your faith is in the process of being made stronger. And I know you probably think, I don't know if I can do it. But he is working in you. And he's allowing us. And your faith is growing strong. And you're going to be a blessing, as if you aren't already, but to the ladies here in the church. One thing that persecutions and trials do in the believer is they search out the motive of your heart. Why am I really doing this? Why do I call myself a Christian? Why have I come into church and doing all of these things all the time? But persecutions and trials and tribulations, they strip away everything from us that's in our heart. The things we don't even know we were there till there's nothing left. And we find out that we're not doing this because of all of the great perks. There's a lot of perks of serving the Lord, right? But ultimately, through the trials and the tribulation, it starts dealing with our heart. And then it brings us to a point like, I'm in this because I love God. If there's nothing left, I love God. And that is a faithful person when God reveals that in them and through them. To be faithful is to be dependable in the simple duties of life. Again, you said John was on Monday what he was on Sunday. That means he had 6 days a week, other than midweek services, 6 days a week he's at home. Being a husband, when the children were young, he was being a father. Out in the world, he was being a business owner. And he was faithful to all that. We heard little stories of just meeting with his client, his customers, and getting to know them and being a friend, and that they would even respond that that's how John was. It proved that he was faithful out in the world. Some people can seem so trustworthy when they're in church, but can they be trusted when they're outside of church? That's why it's good that our fellowship goes much farther than our Sunday morning meeting, that we get involved in each other's lives. I've heard some Christians say, oh, you shouldn't have good friends or best friends in the church. I'm saying, why not? Why can't you have some friends? Like we testified about John. He had some friends that he was just closer to. I wasn't jealous of that. I was glad of that, even if I wasn't one of them. I don't know if I was or not. It's not the point. Whether I was one of them or not, I was glad. And I'm glad when you have friends. I'm glad when you have people, brothers and sisters in Christ that you can confide in, that know you, and you open your heart to them. And, you know, we all kind of have different interests and things. Somebody that loves technology probably doesn't want to go deer hunting with me out and sit in a tree stand on a cold fall morning, you know. And we just do things. But you know what? God has provided the brethren, provided brothers and sisters to be involved with each other's lives. And if you're kind of a loner, that's not a good thing. You need to have some friends in the church. And when you have that and they see you outside of the church, they can see if you're the real deal or not. Amen? Anybody can look like the real deal in here. And all they got to do is for an hour and a half, just put on my happy face, wear my suit, whatever I got to do, go, bless you, I love you. Like Steve, he's so good at always being such a good, what do I call that now? Congregant. They always come so, you know, like in the movies. Oh, Pastor, that was such a good word you brought. He's being fake and phony, and I know it, and we're laughing. And another thing that proves if you're faithful is if you're loyal to God and the body of Christ. Just as a man or a woman is faithful to their spouse, so in the same way, a Christian needs to be faithful to God. What is the first commandment? Thou shalt have no gods before me. So God has to be our primary object of worship and praise. And all of these other things that interest us, they can become idols in our life. And thank God for the Holy Spirit and conviction. He's constantly dealing with that, taking us through trials and tribulations and weed us out of all of those things. So the Lord is our primary love in the body of Christ, very, very close behind. I was going to do a little illustration this morning. This applies to the body of Christ. And I'm just so thankful for the term body of Christ. I can't do my illustration because my wife isn't here, but I'll use my sister Sandy. So if you just come up and stand over here. How can you love someone and you reject the body? Now I'm going to pretend she's Joy. Joy wouldn't appreciate it. Lean forward. Oh, I just love you so much. I don't want your body. Just stay away. But, oh, I just love the head so much. Okay, you can go sit down. How can you just love the head and not love the body? But, you know, if Joy would have been here, I would have just said, now hug me, honey. We want to embrace. If you really love God, you will really love the body of Christ. I love that the church is called the body of Christ. If Christians would get that, if they would get that, what I'm saying right now, it's the body of Christ, it would change their whole view and outlook of the church. Most people see the church first as a building with a steeple cross on it. And then maybe they understand it's the ecclesia, it's the gathering, but it's still more than that. It is the body. It is Jesus's expressed image in the body of Christ. And if you are faithful, if you want to be faithful, you have to be faithful to God, and you will be faithful to the body of Christ. That includes when the body of Christ gets together, you get together. When the body of Christ prays, you pray together. When the body of Christ sings and worships, you worship together. That doesn't mean you can't go on vacation, but that's why so many of you are here. In fact, many of you, it's like Sunday is kind of like the most exciting day. I know it is for me. I'm always looking forward to Sunday. I love to get together with the body of Christ. Why am I such a wonderful man? No, God put that in me. God put that love for one another and your love for one another in you. So the same faithfulness that is directed to God needs to be directed to the body of Christ, and how you interact amongst each other speaks of your faithfulness to God. Amen. Those who are faithful, here's some of the things that will be seen in those who are faithful. Their lives speak louder than their words. Or you could even say it in at least this: their lives make their words more effective. Because, you know, John was a teacher, obviously. He didn't just sit there and we look at him for a Bible study. Okay, 45 minutes is up. We're done looking at you. No, he spoke, but because he was faithful, his words meant more. Did you ever hear anybody that, you know, when they lie? Like I had a cousin. I don't know why, who he's trying to impress, but he couldn't help but lie to me all the time. And it's like, so everything he told me, I was like already like, okay, I'm not even like paying attention to him. anymore. And he's just telling me all of these stories. Well, imagine if you're not a faithful Christian. Imagine you're, you know, you got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You're excited, act like you love God. And then the next day, you know, the next day you're acting like a heathen out in the world. And you're going to say something spiritual and people know you're like that. You know what? They're going to actually detest. It's the word of God, but you'll detest it because of the person that's delivering it. Right? Faithfulness makes the word of God effective when it comes out of your mouth. Don't tell me about loyalty and all that is to God when I see you living for the world. I don't want to hear it. Please keep your mouth shut. Amen? Another thing for those who are faithful, you can follow them as they follow Christ. And that, you know, I've preached that a bunch of times, but it seems arrogant for Paul to say that. It would seem arrogant for every one of you in here to say, go ahead, follow me as I follow Christ. But I want to say you should be able to say that. And if you can't, why? And if you know why, then repent of it. Put it before the Lord and get to follow me. I'm faithful. I know how to live for the Lord. You know, there's other things and that you'll definitely do better and you'll have different directions. But in general, if you want to know how to be faithful to the Lord, follow me. I'm on my way there. They all did that on the yellow brick road or whatever, following to get somewhere. So you can follow them as they follow Christ. Another thing is you can have confidence in what they tell you is truth. It's a lot easier to believe a Christian. I'm never ever saying don't search out, you know, you hear something in question, look it up in your word, talk to them. And, you know, you question things I say, don't be afraid of me. I'm not going to think that you're attacking me. If you go, hey, Pastor, you said this, I don't get it, or can you explain what you mean by that? And I understand I don't always have I don't always articulate things good. But come and ask me instead of talking to this person or that person. Ask me. And so I'm not saying not to that there isn't a time you question or you got to look up something. But the thing is, you're not like peeking around every corner, not like everything they say. You're like thumbing through your Bible to find out. You have confidence. And you have trust in the person that's faithful. That, you know what, you can just sit back if they're teaching and go, I'm just going to hear what they have to say. I know it's from the Lord. Amen? So this is what faithful people bring to the church. Faithful Christians. And this is where we all participate. Here's where we all become a part of the church is faithful Christians accommodate growth in the body of Christ. Every one of us in here that has proved themselves faithful, you are adding to the body of Christ. What you see in here, Linda, what we have here, John contributed to that. He was a part of that. His strong, bold leadership of conviction taught others in here, you know what, when I get a conviction, I better be faithful to it too. I better be bold. I need to be able to step out if the Lord calls me to. And all that. And when they see you walking faithful, that encourages each of us to want to be faithful ourselves. Amen. So bringing this to an end here, this is a shorter sermon. I didn't know how long the things would go on, but we're going to, again, have some more. If you want to say some more things about John or say things to Linda, we could do that downstairs. But God has given us his word. And, you know, his word has been delivered to us in paper and ink and even on an electronic device. But it isn't the actual paper, and it isn't the ink, or it isn't the whatever format is what makes it significant. And this is going to be great revelation here for you. I hope you can grasp this. But it isn't what makes it significant. What makes it significant is because he said it. As simple as that. God said it. I don't care how you read it, how you hear it. If he said it, He is faithful. That is what makes your Bible faithful, because it is the recordings of what God said. And if God had said, he is the most faithful of all, you are faithful because he is faithful. You are faithful because he put his faithfulness in you and taught you how to be faithful. The Bible has been proven faithful. It has brought revival to countless millions and millions of people. Even the skeptics out there cannot deny that there is, out of all old writings, have manuscripts, meaning that they'll maybe dig up in some city or something, some old parchments or clay or whatever, and they can do that of the Bible and find writings. In fact, remember back they had here at the museum the scroll that they found back in 140, I think, B.C., of the book of Isaiah. Really strongly intact, was in a picture. And the skeptics say, well, man translate the word of God, and through the years, and this could happen, through the years it loses its translation. But if a man can get an A on a test, then he can also keep translations pure through time too. So the skeptics said, we're going to take this book of Isaiah, and we're going to take the modern Isaiah that's been translated to us, and we're going to show how wrong and how it's been mistranslated through the years. Didn't happen. They found the book, the Isaiah, in your Bible. Pretty much, you know, there's a few little, different translations and stuff. A few little things like that. But it's pretty much word for word when it did 2,000 years ago. There are over 5,300 manuscripts, old writings they dig up that say what our Bible says today. God has kept his word true, kept his word pure. And if a person's word, or billions today, have put their trust in the word of God, and it is faithful. You know, did you realize, if you're a born-again believer, that you have put your trust in the Bible, in the word of God? Do you realize that? You are trusting that everything this thing says is true. So much that you're willing to lose family and friends if it takes, because you believe this. And again, it isn't the ink. It's because God said it, and God is true. If a person's word is not trustworthy, then neither is the person. And that applies to God. If God wasn't a faithful God, then he wouldn't have to follow his Bible, his word, because it wouldn't be faithful either, but he is a faithful God. And the Bible has this to say, and here's where I end, and I'm going to have the worship team come up. We're going to close today. What a day that will be. We sang this at the funeral Monday. But the Bible has this to say in 2 Timothy 2:11. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. You remain faithful to the Lord. One day you will close your eyes. If we don't get raptured first, you close your eyes, and the next instant you'll be in the presence of God for all eternity, never to weep again, never to cry, to have pain again. Everything's bliss for all eternity. Why would you give that up for 70, 80, if you make it that long, measly, miserable years on this earth for eternity of bliss? Amen. Is there anybody in here this morning that would like to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody say, I want to live for him? I want to be found amongst the faithful when this is all said and done. I want to go, when I'm done here in this life, go to be with Jesus Christ. Anybody like to make that confession this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, you don't need no counsel from me. You know what you need to do, Matt. Amen. Yeah, amen. You're going to be a faithful Christian. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Man, just, you know what, through it all, you remain faithful. Mm-hmm. Praise God, that's all part of the walk. You're just not faithful when it feels good and feels right. Like you wake up crabby. However you feel, just commit it to the Lord. Give your day to the Lord and walk after Him. Amen? Anybody else? If you want to be born again and maybe made a brand new creature right on the spot, if you were to die the next second, you'd go to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's for you. It's a free gift. There's nothing too rotten that you've ever done that He won't forgive. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Make you brand new. Amen. Well, we're going to close singing this song. What a day that will be. Here before we sing,
thank you.
We just thank you, God, for faithful Christians, Lord. God, is our desire, I believe, for each of us to be found faithful and true to you. Help us in every way.
Thank you.
Oh, God, as we go down, Lord, for our fellowship, Lord, we ask you to just bless our time together, Lord. May we have true love for the body of Christ, Lord. We just pray, God, as we honor John, Lord, that that Linda would just be so blessed, Lord. Help her through, God, all her difficult times, Lord, and just keep on giving you your peace, your joy, and your comfort, Lord. We just ask you to bless the food, bless the drink. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.